Rony Zone Radio.
Well, 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 here we go. Let's get away from all this cold weather, and we're going to be talking about one of the most beautiful islands in the world. Let me be talking about Hawaii with a good friend of mine who I work with. His name is Chris Batod. And actually, it's interesting that he is a stand-up comedian. And he is working toward that goal. He's a funny guy. And one of these days, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about comedy. And that should be an interesting show, too. But this time, we're going to be talking about Hawaii. He's from Hawaii. And we're really going to dive in a little deeper. My original thought of the show was to do a travel show about going to Hawaii. What to expect, what to look out for, that kind of thing. But I also wanted you, as a listener, to get an idea as far as the culture, what kind of people there were, how much things cost, just interesting little side notes. So when you got there, you'd have a background of the land, of the island, of the people, so you could kind of get around better and understand a lot more. This is going to be a multi-part show, and this is part one. It's a kind of a lengthy interview, and I haven't cut the rest of it yet, so I'm not sure how many parts it's going to be, but this is part one. And at the end of the last part of this interview, we're going to have my dog interview, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Yes, it's true. And the phone had a little trouble, and there's a lot of sound and stuff on it. Anyway, so let's go right now, and let's talk to Chris Batod.
Okay, welcome back. This is Jeff Roney, and I'm here with the distinguished Chris Batod.
How you doing?
And we're going to talk about probably the easiest subject that we can talk about, Hawaii.
Hawaii.
And the Hawaiian Islands. Now, what we're going to talk about is the different parts of Hawaii, but we're going to really focus as far as travel. If you're going to Hawaii, what to look for, whatever your different spot of life is, if you have a family, if you're single, whatever. But let's kind of start by talking about the history of Hawaii and the Hawaiian Islands.
History-wise, it was the last state, obviously it's the 50th state, came a state in 1959. Prior to that, when Captain Cook discovered the islands and eventually brought the missionaries and whatnot, the big influx of people came dominantly from Asia and those to work on the sugar plantations. So dominantly it's a Asian society, obviously with its own culture because it's the most isolated place in the entire earth, being out in the middle of the sea.
I find it interesting that I remember a story about how they had to drag the electric cables from the mainland to get electricity out to the islands, because obviously unless you have an electric, some kind of a generator company there, it's hard to get electricity there. So is that true that there's a long cable that's pulled from, is it the States or is it Japan or?
It did come from the States originally. Okay. I mean, we didn't have electricity there for a long time when you consider, you know, the rest of, you know, the Western world, everything is imported. So whether you're bringing over a big electric cable, which you will see a lot of when you're just driving on the roads, they're all above ground. Mm-hmm. There's very little that's underground. So you always see those cables in residential areas all over the place. And it just had to be brought in. And that's why any kind of real technology or industry progress is very slow, because nothing's generated there.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about the society, and then we'll kind of dive in as far as travel goes. What is kama'aina? What does that mean?
Kama'aina is a local person, not necessarily of Hawaiian descent, but anyone who's lived there for a good period of time would be considered a local or a kama'aina.
Someone who has established themselves there on the island.
Yes.
Who's going to stay? Who is really making their life there?
That's their home.
Okay.
You know, that's not just someplace that they're going to visit every month, you know, out of the year. That is their home. They're the local.
Okay. And the word haole, what does that mean?
Translation, it means white man.
Okay.
often not used in the most positive of terms, right, because of the history that we can get into in just a little bit. But anyone that would come over and would be considered Caucasian would be considered a Haole. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not a Haole and you're not one of the Kama'ainas or the locals, you'd be considered a Malahini, which would be foreign.
Okay.
And so Haole, and the reason for the kind of a derogatory undertone with Haole is because the native Hawaiians viewed the white man as the people that took away their land, and to a large degree their language and culture, and which would make them leery in general of visitors, you know, because of the nature of the history of the visitors, and anyone, you know, who would seemingly be there. And the catch about that is that they need every visitor there to stimulate the economy, as tourism is the biggest industry of the state. No tourism, I mean, military is the second biggest industry, but tourism is really the backbone of the economy.
So they love the tourism dollar, but they're leery of the tourists.
Yeah, that's exact. I mean,
because of the influence that it brings. Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, they'll bring in the money. You want to spend it, fine. You want to start investing, you know, and start trying to make a buck there, you know, then you're going to get some eyes and heads turned. And, you know, and
what I love about the Hawaiian infrastructure is that infrastructure, the folks take care of their own. They take care of their own. They hire folks that are there, make their home on the island. They make sure that everybody's taken care of. And we can kind of get cutesy, but I think there's truth to it. What was that statement that was in Lilo and Stitch? Is that, was everyone's family or no one's left out?
No
or
one
something?
Gets left behind?
No one gets left behind.
To a large degree, I think that's true of anyone, even if you're not of the ethnicity, just this kind of the nature of the culture, because it was such an enclosed, you know, group of people that, you know, you had to look out for somebody because everyone was looking out for you. You didn't have these mass, you know, either large families or whatever that could just take care of it all themselves. You know, I had to get some service or product from you. You had to get it from me. You know, it was an extended family. And anytime someone invaded that or violated that, you know, family aspect, you know, everyone was quick to rush to say, hey, these are our people, this is our family, you know, you're not messing with us, you know.
Just to bring up maybe a little clearer picture, is do you think 51st States is a good personification of a Hawaiian feeling and protection of people?
I think so. The 51st States to me was the best example of culture, definitely of the pidgin, the accent and the language they speak with Rob Schneider's character. That was dead on, and a lot of times probably better than some of the locals. But the taking care of people in the way that the father and the brother were taking care of Drew Barrymore's character, very much, I mean, they sacrificed pretty much everything just for some ounce of happiness every day, even though they didn't want to paint, you know, over things again. They didn't want to wrap the gift and everything else. Everyone, even the restaurant, people in the restaurant understood, you know, what was her condition and what they needed to do to try to keep her happy.
I love that the whole group at the restaurant, they were very protective of her, you know, and the big cook was going, hey, man, what are you doing? You know, and they were really there to really see that she was okay. And you're right, they did understand the situation, and they were there to not lie to her, but make her as happy as possible because they understood.
Yeah.
So, cool. So let's talk about, obviously, you're going to be flying in. There's something that's different about the checking in when you're getting off the airplane. You're not just getting off an airplane when you get to Hawaii. There is some steps to go through, and just I want everyone to be aware that it's going to take a little extra time. And what is that extra step?
What I like to call it is kind of a mini customs, in the same way that if you went to another country or came in from another country that you passed through customs. In Hawaii, you go through what's called an agricultural declaration form. Every family on the plane must fill out one and sign it. And what it's asking for is if you have any kind of agricultural products, be it a plant, be it soil, just a fruit that you bought off the stand that you got on the plane, those all have to be declared. And if you do declare that, you know, I got a pear in my bag, you know, they're going to come over and ask, and you're going to have to leave it with the officials. The reason for the strict laws into agriculture is that Hawaii's ecosystem has no defenses. When you look at other plant life and animal life, they all have defenses. Mint leaves, you know, thorns, you know, these are all natural defenses that they had against other animals and predators. Hawaii has none of those because they never had any. And introducing, you know, a single fruit fly, a single, you know, organism that can take over plants would just devastate the entire islands, you know, all of them. And so they're very tight about keeping that. You know, snakes are not allowed there. If you have pets and you bring in a dog and you know you're planning to move there, expect to have them quarantined for 6 months. You know, rabies doesn't exist there. So it's a very tight-knit system that they're trying to keep intact, and this is the only way they can do that is by with these strict laws.
Okay. Let's talk about Oahu.
Main island.
Main island that everybody goes to. And as we're talking about an island, it is just full of people. There are always tourists. What's that main street that runs along the
beach? The beach on Waikiki, Kalakaua?
Kalakaua. Famous Kalakaua Street. A nice hotels, shops. There's the Ala Moana Mall there.
Yes.
What is definitely interesting about Hawaii is you have the old and the new. It's just this balance. And they do want to keep sense of the old, what was before. And the one thing I really noticed is we both work in software training, support, and deployment, different things. And when I was in Hawaii last for work, we worked in an office where we were training software with a group that was working in real estate.
Sure.
And we would hear throughout the day, well, are you going to go out dancing tonight? And so I'm thinking, well, you know, she's single, she's going to go out, dance, and have a good time. But no, what she was doing was dancing at the Polynesian Cultural Center.
Right, right.
And so a lot of them, from what I understand, they have a day job, but they also, to make extra money, work for these tourist-type cultural places that they do the old-style Hawaiian dancing for the tourists that come.
Yes.
For luau's or different things.
Luau's, like. Yeah, definitely. It's not the most. It's not the cheapest place to live. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you talk about cost of living, it really doesn't get. I mean, it's always going to be in the top five across America when you talk about cities. I mean, as a state, it's number one. And to make ends meet, you know, because the wages aren't any higher. Even it costs more to live there. You know, and traditionally they're actually lower than, say, the same position in California or even anywhere on the western region. And to make ends meet, you know, if they got some dancing skills of any kind, you know, they'll go out, you know, get prettied up, put on the grass skirt, and start waving those hands.
So in this point, it may be a little demeaning to them because they're playing to the tourists, but on the other hand, they're making extra money and probably keeping that old style alive that probably in some areas of America have died out. They don't do things the way they used to do it, and they lose their culture and their background.
I agree. It's something that their culture, they live it.
Yeah.
And whereas you will go to a lot of spots and they'll have perhaps a museum or some place where this is how it used to be, and they'll have one building that had maybe certain items or of that culture at the time. But no one lives that culture. Here, more so than I think almost any place, they live that culture, whereas they're still dancing hula. There's still the certain decor. There's still certain rituals that even in a modern house is still practiced. Mm-hmm. And that is a sign of the tradition that they want to keep, like you were mentioning in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And the way to keep that is not to just store it away and put a picture of a hula dancer in a museum. It's to live that culture. And to share that with the rest of the world definitely keeps that alive, just as much as any language would be kept alive by speaking it.
Sure. I think the other thing, and we'll get we'll get back to this travel part, but the thing I really loved about Hawaii is seeing the families that got together, especially the Samoan families that got together.
Oh, yeah.
They have big families. And
large families.
When they got together, it didn't have to be for a birthday.
Yep.
It was just, we're having a cookout.
Today's Friday.
Today's Friday. We're going to get together. And it was so neat because I think that concept is tough for America. We're so quick. We're so busy. We're so spread out. We're so segmented. But in the islands, the family is very important. So they're going to get together and celebrate whatever Friday or something.
Yeah, just the fact that it's a day or that they're alive they're going to celebrate. You know, you hear a lot of politicians, you know, in Congress and whatnot talking about we got to get back to family values, mm-hmm. family values. Mm-hmm. And being that they have such a family-centered mentality that any excuse, you know, to get everybody together, to socialize, to eat together, they're going to do it. They're going to take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that, you know, I'm going to invite these three family members and, you know, we'll just have something small. Mm-hmm. If there's an event going on, mm-hmm. there's an event going on and this is all out. The other part about it, too, is that there's not a great deal of structure to it. Mm-hmm. But it seems very organized, you know. People are bringing different foods. A lot of them, they're not telling them, could you bring a side dish? Mm-hmm. Could you bring a main dish? You know, just bring what you got. Mm-hmm. And whatever it is, that's what we're going to eat. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes together, throw it on the table, break out some plates, whatever you got, and let's have it. And we're just going to sit back, might have a few beers, you know, might not, mm-hmm. and just going to talk about old days and everything else.
Sure.
What's happening now?
Let's talk about a box lunch.
Okay.
What is a box lunch?
A box lunch, to me, are you talking a plate lunch?
Plate lunch, that's
plate
it.
Lunch.
Sorry about
okay.
that.
Plate lunch is is one of my favorites that I miss constantly. Normally made up of two scoops of rice, a macaroni salad scoop, and an entree. Could be anywhere from a teriyaki chicken to some kind of beef, you know, anything. And that consists of the lunch. Yeah, you can, for you Atkins people out there, yeah, it's pretty high in carbs, but very much missed anytime you've grown up with that.
Spam. Spam is big.
Spam is... Hawaii is the biggest consumer of spam in the nation. And that's not on a per capita basis. That's on a state-to-state basis. It was an old food that they used on the plantation days that I told you earlier about. They needed some kind of protein to fill them up with. And being that the military, right about that time, created this spam for their troops, this was something that was easily preserved. It didn't get rotten. You know, it lasted forever, literally, and it was a good source of protein. Spam is as derogatory as it may be looked at on the most part of the mainland. It is considered just a common food. You know, you will be able to get spam and rice at McDonald's there. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's fully integrated into the culture.
Now, there's a type of food that is also served with a plate lunch sometimes. Mm-hmm. That is the pork wrapped in
It's called lau lau.
Okay.
L-A-U-L-A-U.
Okay.
It is considered one of the more traditional Hawaiian foods because they actually had pork there. And it's something, it's one of those foods. It's one of those nostalgic foods that, you know, if you never saw it for, you know, months and months, years and years, and you had an opportunity somewhere, you know, you're taking it. You know, mm-hmm. there's no question. So lau lau, definite favorite. Definitely considered more of a luau food than anything, but very well liked.
Poi. What is poi?
Poi is the mixing of the taro root, which it is a root, and it's very similar to a potato. A little bit less stiff, a little bit softer consistency. They'll mash that in with water into kind of a glue-like consistency. It's got kind of a purple color to it. And it was what their rice or potatoes would be to us nowadays. Mm-hmm. It was their staple. It was their starch. It is definitely an acquired taste. Most people that I've heard, even locals, do not prefer poi.
Okay.
I'll dump a bunch of sugar in mine and eat it.
But that's what I was going to ask you, is that I've heard a lot of people stir sugar up in it.
Yeah, if I have enough sugar in it, I like it. The purists may not like it too much mm-hmm. in terms of people doing that, but... With the sugar, I'll definitely eat as much poi as you can give me.
Okay. Once someone's traveling there. They get through the agricultural steps.
Mm-hmm.
They get through that. They get a cab or some kind of a shuttle. They go to their hotel. Now, if you're a family traveling to Hawaii, and the kids that are with them are lucky enough to go to one of the most beautiful spots of the world.
Right.
How can a family have fun together? What are some of the spots?
I think a good family spot is the Diamond Head hike. It's a hike that you will climb up to the top of Diamond Head and actually see the peak.
Mm.
There, it's a very easy hike. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is paved and, you know, just common stairs, because those are old war facilities that were used that they needed to get up to the top of the mountain. I think that's a good spot. Culturally, I think the Polynesian Culture Center is almost a asterisk star, you know, gotta go if you have the chance. It is a little far out of the way, but in terms of immersing yourself into what was done long before Captain Cook got there, is very much represented in that. And you don't have just the Hawaiian culture at the Polynesian Culture Center. You have all of Polynesia. You have Samoan, you have Tahitian, you have Maori, probably about four or five others that I can't think of right now, but you have the mix and you can see all those different cultures, how they ate, how they, you know, the kind of houses they slept in, the kind of activities they would do, the different styles of the dance and hula that they have. And at the end, you know, after a big old hula show, you know, you get to go and eat, you know, if you do the luau portion. And I've never heard anyone tell me that it was something that they dreaded doing, you know. They were always talking about going back. Mm-hmm. Always.
Well, it's just great talking to Chris. He is very knowledgeable, obviously. And it's kind of a Roni's own trademark, you know, when you start talking about Hawaii and the travel and having fun. And then all of a sudden we're talking about Howleys and Kama'ainas and all that kind of stuff. So just, it goes with the territory. And I hope you learned something. I think you may have. And I hope you appreciate the lifestyle and the community and the people that really make up Hawaii. And we're going to pick up right where we left off next time. We're going to continue to work our way around the islands and learn more about the islands. And I hope you enjoy it. And if you do, you can stop by the website, jrdonline.com, and check out the other stuff that's going on. Tatooine TV's there. You can download that. Revenge of the Sox, you can download that. If you'd like to drop me an email, it's jeff.roney@gmail.com. And that's R-O-N as in Nancy, E-Y. Until next time, this is Jeff Roney signing off. Roni Zone Radio.